Welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and today we're in the Book of Solomon, the Song of Solomon, I should say, the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1. As we go through the Bible here on our fourth series, going through the entire Bible verse by verse in the last 35 years. Remember, you can study all four of those series anytime you want to, as much as you want to, any part of it that you want to, using my audio Bible messages, and they are found at thebibleversebyverse.com. Go there, choose, click, and listen. That's all you got to do. Bring your Bible. That's all you need. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. And this has to be cultural, because if you told a woman today that she looked like a flock of goats, you might get a slap in the face. And I don't know. Either that, or she might storm away from you feeling insulted. It seems strange to us, you know. But the fact is, everything he says about this woman is a description of her beauty in terms that they would understand. And so this guy considers himself to be very blessed that she loves him like she does. If God has given you someone who loves you, you are blessed. Being loved is a great gift from God. It should not be taken for granted, and it should be appreciated like this man appreciated the love of this woman. And of course, Jesus appreciates the fact that we love him, which is what this is a picture of. And he loves us with an unending love. Verse 2. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Well, she has all her teeth, and this is another compliment, believe it or not, because he is saying that her teeth are as white as sheep's wool that has been washed. None are missing. Verse 3. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. She's wearing a veil, which women wore in those days, at least before they were married. That means she couldn't see, it means she couldn't see her face. He could not see her face, I should say, in its entirety. But what he saw, he liked. And he knows her well enough to know that he loves her. And although she wears a veil, he still thinks that she is beautiful. And this reminds me, and it should remind us, of Christ and Christians, which again is what this entire story in the Song of Solomon is all about. It reminds me of Jesus and Christians, because the Bible says that even though we Christians have not yet seen Jesus, we love him. We Christians love Jesus because we know him. We don't have to see him to appreciate him. Verse 4, thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Again, this probably seems rather strange to us today. I guess he liked her neck, which is fine. But I think you know you're in love with a woman when something as commonplace as her neck impresses you. Verse 5. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. This is an interesting description. He describes her breast, and it's not simply talking about the physical beauty of this woman. You know, today if you talk about a woman's breasts, everybody thinks of sex and only sex, and that's part of it. But in Solomon's mind, there was more to what he was saying than that. He describes her breast as being like two young roes. You say, what in the world does he mean by that? Well, he's describing the healthiness of her breasts. They were healthy enough to satisfy, as he mentions here, twins. Many probably don't appreciate that today, but back then it was very much appreciated because strong, healthy breasts were needed to prevent a woman's baby from dying. I mean, it was pretty touch and go there for little babies back in those days. So this man is describing the beauty and the strength of this woman. He is saying, you are fit to be a mother, which was the highest calling for a woman in that society. 6. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. These words continue to express his love for her. Verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. As far as he is concerned, she is completely beautiful. She is perfect in every way. She is the perfect fit for him. And I'm not sure she would have won any beauty contest in that day or today, but she was the perfect woman to this man who loved her. He wouldn't trade her for anyone. He was completely content in her presence, and again, this points to Christians and Christ. Christians, true Christians, those who have genuinely repented of their sins and ask Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, would not trade Jesus for anyone or anything else in this world. To a genuine Christian, Jesus is perfect. And of course he is. But to a genuine Christian, that's how they see him too. He's perfect. He is sufficient. Maybe that's a better way to put it. And of course, that's exactly what he is. Perfect and sufficient. Verse 8. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Senir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. So this man says, come with me, and she must be willing to follow him if she wants to belong to him. If she wants him to be her man, she's going to follow him, like wherever he goes. And again, this is a picture of Christ and any would-be Christian as well. Jesus demands that we forsake all to follow him. He said, unless one is willing to pick up their cross daily and follow me, they cannot be my disciple. The cross symbolized dying to self. So when Jesus said, unless one is willing to pick up their cross daily, or every day, every minute of every day, and follow me, they cannot be my disciple. Unless you're willing to die to self, being a slave to Jesus, a slave in the true sense of the word, by losing your own personal identity and setting aside your desires to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it means to follow him. And if you're not willing, you're not one of his. This idea that is promoted today among modern evangelicals, so very popular that you can receive Jesus Christ as Savior but not Lord, is a lie from the pit of hell, and people who follow that are going to burn in hell. There is no such thing as having Jesus as Savior and not as Lord. That contradicts Scripture from start to finish. It certainly contradicts everything that Jesus said, and you are listening to a liar if that's what your preacher is telling you. And you got scrambled eggs for brain. You got rocks in your head if you support somebody like that who is literally leading people into hell with that false doctrine. Verse 9. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices? Thy lips, O my spouse, drip as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. Lebanon was famous for their enormous and plenteous cedar trees. Cedar trees of Lebanon gave off a scent that was pleasant to humans, while at the same time being abhorrent to serpents and many insects. Consequently, the snakes and the insects stayed away from the area where those trees grew in abundance. They didn't want anything to do with them. The cedars of Lebanon are a picture of the relationship between this man and this woman, and they're also a picture of the relationship between Jesus and Christians. The devil, that ancient serpent, as the Bible calls him, and his associate devils are repelled and powerless when the Word of God is proclaimed clearly. The Word of God is to the devils like the cedar trees of Lebanon are to serpents and to insects. God's Word repels them. They flee from it. On the other hand, the Word of God is a sweet scent, a pleasant scent to people who belong to Christ. Verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. He compares the woman that he loves to a beautiful garden with a fountain, and what he is describing is a wonderful park-like setting. Actually, it's more like a paradise setting. That's what he sees when he looks at her. When he's around her, it's as if he's in paradise. In other words, it doesn't get any better. He is suggesting that the blessings of his relationship with her are as good as any blessings can possibly be. And of course, perfect blessedness, like what he is describing, can only be realized fully in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and only fully experienced and enjoyed when we are in our resurrected body, which will happen in the future. But although that is true, we can get at least a taste of that blessedness right now, enough to know that it's going to be the best thing on earth, but with the realization that it's still a far cry from what it's going to be in the future when we are actually with him physically and in our resurrected bodies. 13. Thy plants are in orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, henna with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Notice what she says in verse 16 again. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. She wants the joy that she experiences with her man to spread to others who know them. She wants the joy that she experiences with her man to spread to others when they are around her and her beloved. Boy, you know, when you get two people who are really, really in love, other people like to be around them. A lot of people like to be around them because they just never see stuff like that. It's very rare. They were so in love and they were such a perfect fit that their joy radiated onto others and blessed them as well. Their love for God and their love for each other made them great to be around. And when Christians are close to Christ and their relationship with Jesus is alive and well and real, then they will have joy, and that joy will be experienced by those who are close to them and hunger for that same thing. And we stop right there. Study the whole Bible with me at thebibleversebyverse.com. And if you would like to be a part of this ministry, you can be by praying for me and God's Word. And you can click the donate button also at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. Those are ways that you can be an equal part of this ministry, and I'd appreciate it. Let's get out God's Word as much as we can, to as many as we can, as straightforwardly as we can, for as long as we can. I can't think of anything more valuable than that. And we can do that together. And until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.